They grow up in a country where everyone has a right to speak his or her mind and a right to be heard. Consultation, respect, and tolerance. I think it's ingrained in the character of the people of Botswana. It comes from their society. I think that the president of the country, current president, is carrying on a tradition of consultation where he reaches out to people, he listens to them, and he follows up and delivers on the requests, on the promises that are made. He expects that his ministers will not only make promises, but carry out those promises.
You've mentioned also that the government has a history of supporting projects that will benefit the public. This is in contrast to many countries where there is less transparency and where the public funds go to.
When it gained independence in 1966, it was one of the poorest countries in the world. Shortly after independence in 1966, they discovered diamonds in Botswana. And since that discovery, they have developed their economy, use the diamonds to develop infrastructure, to invest in people, and to grow their economy. They've built hospitals, they've built roads, they've built schools, they've got a national health program, they've got a program where children are required to go to school and where the government pays for education. And it also pays for a student who has the ability, regardless of economic background, that student can go through university and doctoral level studies paid for by diamonds. So they have a phrase, diamonds for development. Diamonds have been the key to Botswana's success. And one of the things that's not well known is that Botswana, over the last 4 decades, has been the fastest growing economy in the world, consistently over a 40-year period. I think there's a remarkable record of stewardship of those resources, a realization that those resources belong to the people and they have to be used for uplifting the citizens of Botswana.
Some people say that this tradition of leadership is connected to a tradition called the Hotla. Can you explain that concept?
Botswana is a traditionally a rural society, and I think all Botswana, whether they live in the city or a town, they have their roots in the village. And it's a society where village elders make decisions or come from the people, but they also are responsible to the people that they are leading. They have chiefs who are called kozi, and they have a saying there that a chief is a chief through the people, that a leader derives his or her legitimacy from the people that he or she leads, and that legitimacy is based on how well they lead, how well they deliver for the people. It is a privilege to be a leader, but it is also a matter of responsibility, and a leader has to deliver, or that leader will be held accountable by people at the village level. And people speak up. People are not afraid to ask tough questions in Botswana. They're not afraid to challenge authority, and it's a pretty respectful society, but it's a society where that respect flows both ways, that a leader commands respect but has to deliver services and deliver good governance to the people in order to maintain that respect.
What are some of the challenges facing Botswana?
Well, two great challenges. I think the first one, the biggest one facing Botswana at this moment is the health challenge. It has one of the highest rates of HIV/AIDS infection in the world. But it's a country where the government has met the challenge head on. We, the United States government and the people of the United States, are partners in that with the government of Botswana. Our PEPFAR program is in the area of $90 million a year. We have, over the last 5 years, contributed in the area of $390 million. But our contribution is only a portion of what has gone into the fight. The government of Botswana itself commits a large percentage of its budget. More than $200 million a year goes in to the government of Botswana's own efforts to combat HIV/AIDS. So they have a coherent, well-thought-out national plan to combat this disease. While their infection rates are high, they also have seen some success, some considerable success, particularly in the area of mother-to-child transmission, prevention of transmission of the HIV virus from mothers to newborn children. They've brought those rates from about 40% down to 4%, less than 4%, which is a remarkable accomplishment. They have made antiretroviral therapy available to all who need it, and more than 90% of people who require antiretroviral therapy have access to it in Botswana. Those numbers, to give you an idea of numbers, that translates into about 117,000 Botswana are on ART out of a population of just under 2 million. So it's a huge commitment of resources. It's a huge commitment of manpower, but it flows from a sense of responsibility that the government has to take care of its people and to use, again, resources for doing that. The second challenge, though, is on an economic front. It's a country that has built its wealth on diamonds, and diamonds have been a great gift, and they have made Botswana what it is today. But diamonds may not be forever. There's no danger of diamonds running out in the next few years, but over time, Botswana has a challenge of diversifying its economy, of expanding into other areas, and they are looking at that. They are planning for the future. They do not take for granted that the next 40 years will be successful without making difficult decisions and policy choices. They want to look back 40 years from now and say that we did as much in our second 40 years as we did in our first. We want the future of the next generations to be as bright and positive as it has been for the generations since independence. They do have some natural advantages there. I think that coal reserves there are considerable, and they're looking at expanding power industry, and not just to become self-sufficient in energy production, in electricity production, but to export into the South African power pool. That would be a source of further job creation, as well as income for the country.
Is the U.S. working with Botswana to diversify?
We have, funded by USAID, a Southern African trade hub, which works with not only Botswana, but all the member countries of SADC to try to open the door to exporters to the United States, to help them find the key to open doors to markets, to find suppliers for materials they need, and to find markets for the goods that they produce. So it's a very good initiative on that level. It also is helping SADC members lower the barriers between themselves. Trading with Europe and trading with the United States is important, but I think the real driver of growth in Botswana and the region will be intra-SADC trade, trading across borders and among the members of SADC and beyond. That's where the real potential for economic growth and development lies. And the trade hub is helping in that area as well. So really, the pillars of Botswana's economic development, primarily number one, diamonds, number two, tourism, and a lot of American tourists visit Botswana every year, and number three would be cattle. So those are the three legs of the economic stool, but they need to go beyond those. And they're looking at other initiatives, and I think President Khama has a very clear vision about where he wants to take the country, and that vision, I think, is shared by politicians of all stripes and persuasions. One area of potential growth is agricultural development. Botswana has a cattle industry that is rooted in culture, but it does have potential for agricultural development as well. It's a semi-arid state, but it does have potential for dryland agriculture and could really move forward in terms of food self-sufficiency and helping to ensure a safer, more secure future for citizens, as well as to create jobs. It would the biggest, I think, one of the best ways to create jobs is to develop the agricultural potential of the country.
In terms of food for domestic or international market, even, what would they grow?
It could be grains, corn, wheat, millet, primarily chickens, so meat production, chickens, poultry, and then I think some of the grains. So rather than importing from South Africa and the region, they would be able to be more self-sufficient. They can create jobs and maybe can promote self-sufficiency in terms of food production. They'll never be able to be fully self-sufficient, but they have the potential to exploit a lot of the lands, particularly in the eastern part of the country. It's largely covered by the Kalahari Desert, so it's a semi-arid climate. Not a lot of rainfall in Botswana, but they do get rain. Most of the rain falls in the eastern part of the country. It's well-drained, and it has agricultural potential that has not yet been tapped, but could well help them attain a higher degree of self-sufficiency in food production.